Sky Sports Radio News for toyotamaterialhandling.com.au, Australia's first choice in forklifts.
National News today. Good morning, I'm Gemma Bath. Anzac Day will be accompanied by a strong police presence across Australia this year in the wake of Melbourne's anti-terror raids, Gary McQuaid reports.
Five teenagers have been questioned following their arrest in a series of pre-dawn raids in four Melbourne suburbs yesterday. Police allege they were planning ISIL-inspired attacks on Anzac Day events. 18-year-old Sevdet Bessem of Hallam has been remanded after facing court overnight charged with conspiring to commit terrorist acts. An 18-year-old from Hampton Park remains in custody. He's expected to be charged with preparing for a terrorist act. Three others have been released, one expected to face charges on summons with weapons offences. Prime Minister Abbott is urging people to turn out in the largest possible numbers to support our country, our values and our armed forces. In Melbourne, Gary McQuaid, Macquarie National News.
Islamic State has claimed responsibility for a deadly suicide attack in Afghanistan, which has left at least 33 dead and more than 100 injured. If verified, the bombing will be the first attributed to the jihadist group in the country. Doctors will be paid $12 incentives for overdue flu jabs they give to children as part of a plan to immunise the country. The government's $26 million policy also includes a national school vaccination register. Religious exemptions for childhood shots will be scrapped to toughen the no-jab, no-pay laws. The Prime Minister has been caught on camera downing a beer in one go at a Sydney pub. Tony Abbott succumbs to the pressure of a rowdy university crowd. A coloured $2 coin will be released to mark Anzac Day. About 1.5 million will go into general circulation from tomorrow. It will feature poppies, crosses and the words, "Lest We Forget." Nepal is marking the first anniversary of a deadly avalanche on the world's highest peak, Mount Everest. Larry Miller has more.
Bagpipes at the ceremony at Everest Base Camp in Nepal, marking a year after 16 Sherpas were killed in a sudden avalanche. Most were human mules, high-altitude porters carrying heavy loads of supplies for foreign mountaineers, like this climber who was there then and has now returned.
No, it hasn't put me off, but it has made me a lot more aware of how important the Sherpas are and how fragile the human life is.
At the ceremony, monks held prayers with the relatives of those who died.
Police have been checking hospitals in the Blue Mountains after a 300-metre trail of human blood was found in Wentworth Falls, and the government is considering scrapping the cap on the childcare rebate in the May budget. In finance, one Australian dollar buying 77.82 US cents.
Sport for Builders Steel Direct.
A Cooper Cronk drop goal in the last 40 seconds of the match has seen Melbourne topple the Roosters 17-16 at Amy Park. The thrilling finish was played out in front of close to 13,000 screaming fans. Storm coach Craig Bellamy says the squad really had to work hard against the reigning premiers.
It was a real arm wrestle. You can see why, you know, they're favourites to win the competition. They were really tough out there.
The Cowboys scored a late try to nudge out the Warriors 28-24, while Penrith was decimated by the Gold Coast 32-6. The Swans have kept composed during their 21-point win against the GWS Giants in their AFL Sydney derby at the SCG. Wins also to Essendon, the Crows, Port Adelaide and Richmond. The Waratahs have held off a late surge from the Hurricanes to claim a 29-24 victory in their Super Rugby match in New Zealand. The Rebels down to the Brumbies 13-8. Western Sydney has moved off the bottom of the A-League ladder after a 2-1 win against Adelaide United. Coach Tony Popovich says the boys showed a lot of heart.
In the second half, you know, the players responded very well and were very positive and on the front foot, and in the end they deserved their win.
Melbourne victory downed Brisbane Roar 1-0 in the other match. In the EPL, wins to Aston Villa, Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool and Arsenal. It's 8:04. This is Macquarie National News.
Today's sports report brought to you by Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialist. Best lintels, T-bars and arch bars at best prices. BuildersSteelDirect.com.au.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
First up at Kingsgrove, an accident, Kingsgrove Road, and also at Majestic Drive through Stanhope Gardens, there's been a smash. Heavy traffic now to the international terminal at Mascot, at Ingleburn. Some sheep stray on the Campbelltown Road and Williamson Road in Chippendale, Abercrombie Street and Broadway. Northbound, water barriers and traffic cones causing an issue. And if you're heading deep into the Blue Mountains, up past Lithgow at Willerowang, Great Western Highway Roadworks at Barton Avenue. Well, don't miss Hyundai's Double Up event. They're offering twice the value on the 2014 Elantra sedan from only $19,990. Drive away plus $1,000 gift card. Hurry, ends April 30. That's traffic number one in racing, Sky Sports Radio.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Chock full of sporting news and views from around the country and around the world. Plus, have your say. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. The final hour, right up until 9 o'clock. Ray and Jimmy in the hot seat. And it is a massive last hour, Raymond. Steve Mortimer, Graham Arnold, Jake Lloyd, Cooper Cronk. We've got Dean Bulldog Ritchie and Trent Langscale from tab.com.au as well. From the listening area, better give you a weather update too. A few showers becoming windy up there in Sydney, 22 degrees as a maximum. Wollongong, a few showers becoming windy, 20. Newcastle, a few showers becoming windy, 22. And given the fact I'm down in Melbourne, mate, I thought I'd give the Melbourne update.
Is it still running down there?
A few showers, bloody freezing.
What was it like last night? Was it as cold as it looked?
Oh, I tell you what, the temperature dropped 7 degrees in 15 minutes. They checked it out on the Bureau of Meteorology. Degrees in 16 minutes. Dean Bulldog Ritchie is up bright and early. We've got to get our skates on this hour, mate. We're nice and busy.
We're struggling a bit. Yeah, Dino, good morning. Haven't quite got him yet, but he mightn't be up just yet. He might be slow out of the barriers as well, Jimmy.
Oh, Gypsy Diamond.
No, here he is. The great man's here. Dino, good morning.
Good morning, men.
Yeah, how are you, Dino? And look, we had Zorba on earlier, and it's all about DCE at Manly. What's the latest you're hearing?
Yeah, the latest what I hear, Ray, is that, look, it's coming down to two basic ingredients. One of the reasons that Daly Chevron signed with the Titans was because of his good mate, Nate Miles.
Mm.
Now, the Gold Coast had an option on Nate Miles for next season, but at the moment that hasn't been exercised, and the Dragons and Manly are interested. I even think you'll find some Manly officials spoke to Nate Miles last week. So there's no point Daly Cherevans heading north if Nate Miles passes him on the Pacific Highway heading south. And there's also the second...
Well, hang on, Dino, that's not right. He's played his whole career without him thus far.
Yeah, but it's a reason, Jimmy. They're very good friends, and their wives and partners are very good friends too. It was part of the deal. And the second part of the deal, guys, is his third-party agreements. Daly, I think, has realised now that they're not going to be quite as effective on the Gold Coast as they would be here in the Big Smoke in Sydney.
Well, I hope Daly Cherry-Evans and his management were very upfront in speaking with the Gold Coast Titans and agreeing to that contract, saying, look, one of the big reasons is because of Nate Miles. Because otherwise, this has then come out of the blue for the Gold Coast Titans.
I just can't work out, guys, if the story is incorrect, and at the moment, look, even Daly Cherry-Evans on Channel 10 News last night, his responses were a little bizarre, I guess. Look, the final answer of question was, are you 100% committed? He said yes, so I guess that's as definitive as we got from that interview, but I just can't work out if, in fact, the story is incorrect, why Gavin Orr, his manager, hasn't put out just simply a one-paragraph statement saying that Daly Cherry-Evans will honour his contract. It puts the whole thing to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now we've got a massive Anzac Day round next week, Dino, but I'm just looking at the Sunday Herald Sun, your sister newspaper down here in Melbourne. It's AFL, 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 AFL.
That's all you get.
AFL, AFL. And then at the bottom of one of the articles it says, oh, by the way, the Melbourne Storm won last night.
And it was a great game of football.
By a Cooper Cronk behind. Mm. How are we going down here in Melbourne? Why can't I read Dean Ritchie in Melbourne?
Oh, you should.
Well, I have blunt answer.
The www.deanritchie.com.au.
Money doesn't work on a Saturday, do you, Dean? That's your day off.
Oh, look, it's always been that way down in Melbourne. We know the situation. It's just complete AFL saturation. I guess I've always thought up here in Sydney we're a little more generous in the media for other sports. Look, AFL doesn't get an enormous run-up here compared to rugby league, but we all, you know, I know, speaking from the Daily Telegraph's point of view, it normally gets one, if not two, pages daily.
Yeah.
We're down there, you've got to scrounge around back near the golf details just to find a rugby league paragraph. And it's a shame, it was a terrific game last night. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Except if you're a Roosters fan, of course, that now is three losses on the trot.
I tell you what it does, though, Dino. The Roosters did play well last night, and as Jimmy mentioned earlier, there's controversy about the loss, but it sets up what I think is one of the marquee games of the year against a very much informed St George on Anzac Day.
Yeah, look, the whole Anzac Day experience is going to be fantastic, Ray. I'm looking forward to Warriors, Titans, Knights, Cowboys, Roosters, Dragons, Storm, Seagulls, and Broncos, Eels. Five big games, each in different cities, all commemorating Anzac Day. So, look, it's got a real feel to it, Anzac Day. I've always loved that Roosters-Dragons game. And aside from the fact it's such an emotional and passionate day, we're also looking at players for rep teams. I mean, there's a piece in the Sunday Telegraph this morning saying there's 56 players basically chasing rep jumpers next weekend. So it's all going to add up to what should be an absolute ripping weekend.
Yeah, well, you're good mates with Tim Sheens. You've probably had coffee with him a couple of times this week. Dino, who's going to get picked for Australia? Who's going to be the centres for Australia?
Yeah, good question, Jimmy. Look, there's a few spots up in the air. I'm hearing that Josh Dugan is going to make his test debut. He will be named, which is big news for Josh, given his comeback. Daly Cherry Evans is one I'm hearing will miss out. So that's a bit of a blow for Cherry Evans. He was, of course, used off the bench for a while. But look, a lot of similar faces will be there. Smith will be there, Matt Scott, Jennings, Thaiday, Hodges, Thurston, Bird, Miles. But the usual suspects will be there. Buzz Rothfield wrote a piece during the week saying that there's seven players over 30, which is an ageing roster, I guess, when it comes to Test football. But as Sheen's pointed out in the copy, that we tried a lot of young kids last year through injuries, and of course we did get beaten in the Four Nations final by the Kiwis.
Dino, a quick update. You had the front page story in the Daily Telegraph during the week.
And back page,
Same day. You were dominant, as Jimmy put on Twitter, but the front page story, a very important one, re the Canterbury issue at ANZ Stadium that night. Potentially 12 supporters, the police released images of them. What's the update re the Bulldogs situation there, Dino?
Yeah, the police put out, it was actually 13 images of people. But look, I want to stress that the images that were published in the papers and on the television news that night aren't necessarily the culprits. It's just their fans that they think can help find the culprits. The cops actually arrested two people. They took the details of two people on the night who they believe were bottle throwers. And perhaps in coming days, maybe they can expect another knock on the door.
I tell you what, if that's not the greatest deterrent to behaving yourself, how embarrassing for those
on
people.
The front page.
You looked at it and you went, oh, well, I don't know that person, but I'd easily be able to identify them if I did. You know, that's highly embarrassing for them. And I don't think out of place. Let's hope there's no one being caught up who wasn't a bottle thrower. That's going to be the unfortunate thing. Righto, Dino, West Tigers up against the Raiders today at Leichhardt Oval. It'll be wet, of course, because it always rains when they play at Leichhardt.
Yeah, that's the 2 o'clock game, Jimmy. The Tigers aren't expecting any late changes. For the Raiders, there's one player in doubt. Well, that's Sean Fenton, so they're going to monitor him this morning to see whether he should take the field. They're expecting about 13,000 there. They normally get a few more. The Raiders, of course, won't bring too many fans to Leichhardt, but it's always a special afternoon, and hopefully the weather will be kind to us. Now, we'll shift on to that Knights-Eels game. That's the 4 o'clock game at Hunter Stadium. Newcastle expect to be 1-17. The Parramatta, though, interestingly, Richie Fa'aoso was named as 18th man, but we think he might be actually going to make the cut and play. It'll be his first game, I think you'll find, since 2013, when he, of course, sustained that neck injury. So hopefully Richie can get a run, and good luck to him. And down there, the Monday night game at Ramonda Stadium, Sharks, South Sydney. Paul Gallen's got a gluteus hip injury. He wants to play, and if he wants to play, Gal generally does. The big news, of course, for South, Dylan Walker, broken hand a few weeks ago, wasn't expected back this early, but he will play. There were some suggestions John Sutton may come back too, but I think you'll find he'll have to wait one more week.
All right, Dino, any other news around?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on a couple of stories floating around this morning, guys. Will Matthews had a big game for the Dragons on Friday night.
He was impressive, Dino.
Yeah, a few thunderous hits. Yeah. Ray Boy, looks like Penrith are going to have a few discussions about whether they could maybe lure him up there to Pepper Stadium, so he would be a good buy for the Panthers. We discussed Jimmy Tarmow last week. He said he wasn't going to be released, but I'm keep hearing day after day that he will be released to Canberra for next year, so that will be big news. And Bo Scott, it's been written that he will sign with Parramatta. No official announcement just yet, but I think you'll find that Bo is just waiting to get this game out of the way. Of course, Newcastle is playing Parramatta this afternoon. He just thought it would be a little inappropriate to announce something before a game with, obviously, his two sides involved. Mm. I think you'll find early next week he will announce that deal with the Eels.
Apparently, Will Matthews can't play without Trent Merrin, so he's going to follow him to the foot of the mountains, a la DCE and Nate Miles.
You're being very cheeky today. You're always cheeky when you're 1,000 kilometres away.
Exactly. When I'm near you, it's all, hello, Mr. Richie. How are you? Good on you, Dino. Have a great day, mate.
You too. Thanks, Ben.
See you, Dino.
Dean Bulldog Richie there, 1353-53, the open line number. What are we doing, Raymond? A break?
Quick break, Jimmy, and then we're back with a whole lot more on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Time on, boys. With the winter sports now underway, Sky Sports Radio keeps you up to date every day. When it happens in NRL, AFL and rugby, you get the latest on the Big Sports Breakfast and the National Racing Service. And on the weekend, there's up-to-date scores, plus the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition 6 to 9 Sunday mornings. If it's happening in sport, it's on Sky Sports Radio.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now...
you can eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land...
with that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. Available at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Harvey Norman's first ever clearance outlet is now open. It's at Mascot in Sydney, full of manufacturer's seconds, ex-display stock, scratch and dent, factory refurbished units and end-of-line run-out models. It's all cheap, cheap, cheap and price to clear. Fridges, washers, air conditioning, TV, computers, furniture and outdoor bedding, flooring and lots, 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 lots more. You'll love the savings at Harvey Norman's clearance outlet, Gardeners Road, Mascot.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Welcome back to the program. 1353-53, the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419-SMS-BSB. 0419-767-272. Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au coming up very shortly. But let's go to the open line. James is on the line from Merriweather. G'day, James.
Yeah, g'day, fellas.
Morning, James.
Just a couple of good things from the NRL recently.
Yep.
And a few probably disturbing things as well, but I'll come up with the good things first.
Nice.
The NRL, that player, NRL player contract, I don't know whether you watched Channel 9 on the weekend.
NRL rookie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, rookie con, yep.
Yeah.
I think that's a good positive because a lot of players get missed through the system.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know whether a lot of players get missed through the system, but I agree with you. I reckon it's going to be a good concept.
Well, hats off to them. They're trying, and that's a good one.
Yep.
The NRL intention to get rugby league played in the GPS system, that's a positive too.
Yes, make sure...
grow the sport.
Yeah, grow the sport, all for that, but...
Different demographic, finally.
Yep.
And the sport gets, really grow... properly. That would be great.
I'm a fan of regional areas receiving as much support as any GPS schools, I've got to say, James.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm a public school teacher. So, look, I'm all for, and it needs to be, pushed there as well.
Yeah.
But to go to a different you know, like, as we know, the private school system has shunned rugby league for an ever a day.
Yeah.
And I think that's a positive intention. That's
a good point, James, yep.
Burnley Moore, a bit concerned that, you know, he was on TV the other day saying, you know, too many clubs in Sydney Metro area, yet he wants the Central Coast Bears to be about. And when you look at the maths, there's a million less people in Melbourne, and the AFL have 19.
Mm.
And in Sydney, there's a million more people, and the rugby league only has 8 teams. So mathematically, it doesn't make sense, that sort of rationale. I would suggest that additional teams is the answer for the rugby league, not an implosion of the game that we have seen, i.e. like the Super League fiasco.
Yeah, right, James. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Quick, mate.
And one more.
Mm-hmm.
West Tigers' grey jumper would have to be the worst jumper that they've had since becoming the West Tigers. They should be wearing that gold jumper with the black and white V as their other strip, and the black strip with the white and gold V.
Yeah,
I can't argue with that.
Mate, I'm not going to disagree. I bet you they don't wear the grey jumper today at Leichhardt Oval. I'll give you
don't.
That one, James. Good on you. And I think there could be a couple more sides come into the National Rugby League in the future. I would be very surprised if it was the Central Coast, unless there is a relocation. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take your thoughts on that. Now, he's in the studio down here at Melbourne. Mate, he is dressed head to toe in Fighting Hawthorn gear.
He's a big Hawthorn man, Trent.
Oh, mate, Trent Lanskill from tab.com.au. Come on in.
Good morning to you, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Trent. How are you?
Going well, yourself?
Hang on just a minute. Where the mighty flying Hawthorn.
Oh, that's good, Jimmy.
Where
well
the
done.
Mighty flying hawk.
And I didn't have to give him any words either, right?
No prompting me. I'm surprised.
Mate,
see, Jimmy, you're broadening horizons, see?
Yeah, broadening. Oh, I tell you what, I wish these Melburnians would broaden their horizons. No, there are other sports on the planet.
Oh,
that
is not going to happen, Jim. That will not happen.
Ray, I saw your name with your articles in the Herald Sun this morning in regards to the racing yesterday. So you were down here. Shame about Bulldog, but you were definitely in the paper today.
Dino has his sad days off and has done since he was first started working, Trent. So
yeah, very good.
You won't
good.
Get him working on a Saturday.
All right, Leichhardt Oval, mate. It's a great place to watch footy as long as it's not raining. What about the prices today?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock start at Leichhardt Oval, where West Tigers are $1.38 favourites and Canberra $3.15. In line betting, West Tigers giving away a 7.5-point start. Margin betting at the end of normal time, West Tigers 13 plus at $2.40, and then 1 to 12 at $3. The Raiders 1 to 12, $4.25, and 13 plus at $8 in the first try score. Pat Richards, the $8 favourite, with Kevin Obama and James Tedesco at $9. And then 4 o'clock at Hunter Stadium, Newcastle $1.47 against Parramatta at $2.75. The Knights giving away a 6.5-point start. Margin betting here sees the Knights by 13 or more, the slightest of favourites at $2.80, to win by 1 to 12, $2.90, and then the Eels 1 to 12 at $4, and 13 plus at $6.50. First try scorer here sees Aquila Uarte, the $8 favourite, and then John Folau, James McManus, and Reece Robinson, all at $9.
And Trent, not surprisingly, I see your team Hawthorn almost unbackable for their clash against the Bulldogs. That's in Tassie today, isn't it?
Yes, or Aurora Stadium or York Park in Launceston, and Hawthorn just getting over last week's loss, hopefully, but they are $1.05 against the Western Bulldogs, who are unbeaten so far this season at $11, but a much tougher task today. In line betting, the Hawks giving away a 52.5-point start. Margin betting, the Hawks over 39.5, the favourite way at $1.45. The other matches for round three, a 3:20 first bounce at Simmons Stadium, Geelong $1.14 against Gold Coast, without Gary Ablett at $5.75. The Cats giving away a 39.5-point start. And then the Derby, as it's called over in the West, a 4:40 start at Domain Stadium. Two teams that don't like each other. West Coast $3.25 and Fremantle $1.35, with the Dockers giving away a 19.5-point start.
All right, you've got some NBA playoffs getting underway as well. Give us the prices on that one. I might put you on the spot here, Trent, but overall winner too. And where are the Golden State Warriors with Mr. Andrew Bogut leading the charge there with Steph Curry?
Yes, well, we've had the first round did begin this morning at about 2:30 our time. There's already been a couple of game ones just quickly. Washington won 93-86 away to Toronto in overtime, and Golden State State, their match finished about 10 minutes ago, and they won 106-99 at home to New Orleans, and they were leading by as much as 25, so they just fell in at the end, but Golden State with the 1-0 lead in that series. A couple more first games to get underway. 9 o'clock this morning, the Chicago Bulls $1.25 at home to the Milwaukee Bucks at $4.25. The Bulls giving away a 7.5-point start, $1.95 lines on the playoffs, and then 11:30 this game will be on ESPN. The Houston Rockets $1.42 and the Dallas Mavericks $3, and the Rockets giving away a 5.5-point start. But there's plenty more going on, fellas, so to check it all out, you can head to tab.com.au.
Righto, mate. Where do you watch the footy at?
I'll be in here today, Jimmy, because it's in Launceston. That. If it was like the first 2 weeks, I definitely would have been at the MCG.
Okay, you don't go to Tasmania?
I've been there once to see him.
Right.
He's a committed supporter, Jimmy.
Fantastic. Good on you, mate. Watch out. That'll be a 50-metre free if you keep going on like that.
And, Jimmy, this is important. This is a serious sports show. Drop the dud news and replace it with professional, accurate and entertaining sports updates that we know tenure can deliver with panache. Bring it on. That's from Paramat.
I thought you were going to say that was an SMS from Tanya. But anyway.
It might very well be.
Paramat, he's rock solid. He's rock solid. Saw him at the Big Sports Breakfast Lunch, and it was great to catch up. And his young bloke was there as well. Good on you, Trent. Thanks for that. Have a great day. We'll take a break, and then we've got lots to get through. Stevie Mortimer, Graham Arnold, Jake Lloyd from the Swans, Cooper Skronk from the Melbourne Storm.
Weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya White.
Oh, the pressure. I'll do my best. A field goal in the dying seconds from Cooper Cronk gave Melbourne a 1-point 17-16 win over the Roosters in the NRL game last night at Amy Park. The goal coming in the 45 seconds to go. The Cowboys kicked into gear after a slow start with Jake Granville scoring a hat-trick to help North Queensland to a 28-24 win over the Warriors in Townsville. And in the early game, the Gold Coast thrashed Penrith 32-6, the Titans scoring 5 tries. The Panthers, however, adding to their injury toll with Brent Kite and Josh Mansour leaving the field. Today it's the West Tigers versus Canberra at 2, Newcastle home to Parramatta at 4, and tomorrow night Cronulla versus South at Ramondas. Melbourne victory is possibly 1 week away from the A-League's Premier's plate after a 1-0 win over Brisbane last night. The only way that they'll miss out is if they lose to the Central Coast next week and Sydney beat Wellington and wipe out their plus 7 goal difference. Also last night, the Wanderers clocked up a win defeating Adelaide 2-1. Today it's Perth versus Melbourne City. The Reds have snapped a 6-game Super Rugby losing streak with a nail-biting 18-17 win over the Cheetahs in Bloemfontein this morning. They came back from 10-0 down. The Rebels registered their first win in Canberra, knocking over a decimated Brumbies 13-8. And while the Brumbies are still on top of the Australian Conference, the Waratahs are hot on their heels after a bonus point win over ladder leaders Hurricanes 29-24. And the Western Force's losing streak extended to 8 after a 13-6 loss to the Stormers at home. The Swans beat GWS in yesterday's AFL cross-town match, but the Western Sydney side is closing the gap. The Swans won by 21 points, but the Giants went down fighting, and coach Leon Cameron says he was impressed to see that his team has gained solid ground from last season. In other results, Port Adelaide 113 beat North Melbourne 105, and Richmond 137 thrashed Brisbane 58. Chelsea has gone 10 points clear atop the EPL table after a 1-0 win over Man United, while Leicester has jumped off the bottom with a 2-0 win over Swansea. Elsewhere, Crystal Palace 0, West Brom 2, Everton 1, Burnley 0, Stoke 1, Stoke 2, Southampton 1, while in the FA Cup it was Reading 1, Arsenal 2. Casey Delacroix beat Arantxa Rus in straight sets to level the Aussies' Davis Cup World Cup group tie playoff with the Netherlands at 1 rubber each. Jamila Gavitsova, she was beaten in the first singles match. Now the girls are trying to get back into the world group. Meantime, Novak Djokovic and Tomas Berdych will meet in the final of the Monte Carlo Masters after semi-final wins overnight. And for the first time in his career, Lewis Hamilton has won his fourth straight F1 pole position and his first in Bahrain. That race to be run later tonight. Just quickly, Ray, Mary Sadler, mother of horse trainer John Sadler from Melbourne, she will apparently present the Terang Cup to the Winning Connections today. Now, what's the big deal about that, you say? Well, Mary is 107 years old.
Wow. What a great performance.
Great effort, yeah. And John is only 60. I was wondering how could that be. But I spoke to John, and Mary had John when she was 47, which was absolutely unheard of back then.
Wow.
And she's not the oldest person in Australia, the second oldest, apparently.
It's remarkable.
Yeah,
107.
So that'd be worth a trip just to see Mary out there today.
Traffic will go straight to a break, and we'll be back with more after this ad break.
Sky Sports Radio has the latest sports and racing news 7 days a week on Tab Talk. Tab Talk with key betting updates and interviews with the stars. Tab Talk every morning at 10 is a much needed ingredient for backing that elusive winner right here on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Double Cream 7, the women of country. Starring Carrie Underwood, Casey Musgraves, and Miranda Lambert. Great melodies and heartfelt lyrics delivered as only the girls know how. There's Shania Twain, Dolly Parton, Martina McBride, Gretchen Wilson, and many more. Hear them all on Double Cream 7, the women of country. Available now.
These days, it's okay to be a little crazy. Coco Joy is crazy about all things coconut and about bringing the joy back into everyday life. Coco Joy boasts a full range of products, including Coco Joy 100% coconut water, naturally sweeter than the others, but with no added sugar, no hidden nasties, just full of goodness. Then there's Coco Joy coconut milk and Coco Joy kids. Bring back the joy with Coco Joy. At a store near you or online at cocojoy.com.
On Sky Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Radio's biggest and best serve of weekend sports.
Welcome back to the program. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. It's Ray and Jimmy right up until 9 o'clock. We're busy trying to track down Stevie Mortimer. We want to speak to him about the True Blues, which is an initiative from the New South Wales Rugby League, much in the same way they've got the Fogs up there in Queensland, Raymond. And I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yep.
And I know it's been in different guises over the last couple of years, but there's a big dinner on Wednesday night at the Star. And doesn't mean you had to have played State of Origin. Of course, it includes those people who represented New South Wales pre-Origin days of 1980, and you're talking about guys like Graham Langlands and Johnny Raper, et cetera. So it'd be great from an inclusive point of view to have them involved in that. So we'll speak to Steve very shortly, but time now to speak to Scotty Foster. I'll tell you what, there was a time in his life when Scotty Foster would have been on the bus with the Wentworthville Magpies getting ready on this game up to Newcastle, and most importantly, getting ready for the return trip. But that's not the case these days. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Jimmy. And, mate, I'm still trying to organise all those little trips. I just don't get the time these days.
Yeah, so I understand what it's like. Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars always got some great specials for our listeners on a Sunday morning, and it's no different today. You better take us through the first of these two, the Holden VE Berliner.
Yeah, what a beautiful sedan. This is one of our favourites for the weekend. It's a beautiful vehicle, navy blue in colour for an appealing exterior look. It's got the grey leather interior for a very luxurious and comfortable drive. Comes with logbooks and service history. Has all the standard Berliner extras like dual climate control air conditioning, ABS brakes, airbags, cruise control, traction control, power windows, alloy wheels, remote central locking, and the added bonus of 11 months registration. It's Australia's favourite family car, and at the very favourable price of just $8,990 drive away today. That's right, this is a VE Berliner sedan with leather trim and 11 months registration for only $8,990 drive away. So go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au. Take a look and get down fast for a test drive because this one will sell very quick.
And Scotty, good morning. I think this other car you've got today as a special will also sell quickly for Ford fans. It's a 2008 Ford Falcon FG sedan.
Yeah, another of Australia's favourite family cars. Ray, this one's a 2008 FG Falcon. It's a great looking car. It's fitted with a Ford FPV sports body kit and a sensational looking set of FPV alloy wheels. It's also fitted with sports suspension, a sports exhaust, which not only gives it extra kilowatts of power, but also a very nice sounding rear end. Mm. The real car enthusiast car. It's one of a kind, and like the Bellina, it's on the website, www.fosterspolitycars.com.au. So take a look or call now on 9637 5024 and organise yourself a test drive today on one of both of these beautiful cars.
All right, now, so you're sorting out these little trips away. Are you actually on one today, or are you on the yard and actually trying to sell some cars for your old man?
I'm neither, Jimmy. I'm at home, just about to get ready to go to the footy. But the boys would be just about to turn up at Marathon Stadium or Hunter Stadium up there now. They're playing before the Parramatta NRL side against the Newcastle Knights and looking for another big win up there, hopefully. Strong squad in today, so the boys should do the job.
Hey, Richie Faioso, he'll be turning out for Para, so I know he's been playing with Wenty. He looks about 5 or 6 kilos lighter than when he played previously.
Mm. Yeah, he has. He's lost some weight. He's been training hard, and it would be a very hard thing to get back on the field after what he's been through. So he's done a fantastic job. He's looking after himself, and boys, hopefully gets himself back up to the top level.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good story. Good story. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak next week, mate.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
There he is. You have a good day, too. Good luck to Wenty as well. Fosterspolitycars.com.au is the website, or you can give them a call. 9637 5024. Remember, if the car's not on the lot or on the website, these guys will go and source it for you. They're absolutely fantastic. 1353 53, the open line number. Raymond?
Yeah, we've got Steve online. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you going?
Yeah, terrific, Steve.
That's good. Yeah, trying to help a few punters out here as usual.
Well, what have we got for us, Steve?
Okay, I want to talk... not talking through my pocket. I've only had back dissonance once at the end of August last year.
Yep.
It got home for me, but so I'm definitely not talking through my pocket, nor do I. But I want to state some facts about the form directly and indirectly prior to yesterday's all-age stakes and the form you can take out of it.
Yep.
Now, I'll start with the latter. The form you can take out of it, you can scrub the form completely.
Mm. It was a bit of a rough race, wasn't it, Steve?
Okay, yeah. You can scrub that one. Now, Juan Gina, who we know just went down, over a few starts here, previously finished a length behind Rich Enough. Over another run, it beat Disposition a neck. Over another start, it beat Alpine Creek a neck. Now, we all know what Brazen Bow would do to that lot. I'd say they'd be close to 3/4 of a second at the end of the race.
Mm.
Now, that's that bit there. Now, the form prior to the race. We pick up the sports when we have a look at it, 1400 Randwick. We see wet track. We know it's going to be wet. Now, we had two top class 1200 metre horses running in the wet over 14 and Randwick, and I repeat, Randwick.
Mm.
We had Chautauqua, the better, possibly a slightly better horse, Chautauqua, with a very, very unfavourable rails barrier. So now we only had a few horses left here, and we had definitely the one a lot of people would have put in, the winner, given the conditions, the 1400.
Yeah.
But now we had a couple of horses in there, one being a classy one, that was trying to, and here's the amusing bit, and it happens regularly. Trainers, I hope you're listening, not Bart Cummings and Gay Waterhouse, but I hope some are listening. Trainers, including the great, great Jack Denham, have tried with Purple Patches and Joanne's, trying to win Group 1s with older horses second up after winning, directly after winning first up from a spell.
Mm.
Now, repeat, older horses. It is a very difficult assignment.
So it sounds like you're back dissonant, Steve.
No, I didn't. No, I only took two horses. No, I backed Laserhawk.
Okay.
I got sucked into second up, but I got sucked into the big odds.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I took him at the hundreds there last year. The only other time I backed him was the hundreds there last year when he ran third and looked the winner.
Mm.
He's a weight for age horse, as we all know, and a good one.
Yeah.
But why they persist in putting good horses... top class horses, which Laserhawk is, by the way, he's like all horses.
Yep, okay. Yep.
They've got to be given the conditions of the race.
Yeah, well
I think, Jimmy, it comes down to one thing. It's a Group 1, last Group 1 of the Sydney
Jordan.
Absolutely. It's these horses are top elite-level horses. There's only a certain amount of races they can run in, and this was the last Group 1. Great contest, distant probably won it fair and square, but certainly there was a few in the beaten division who had some hard luck stories.
Oh, there will have been a lot of trainers that said, yeah, this is the race we've been working towards. So that makes sense. So I understand Steve's point. It was well thought out. Probably gives more merit to the run of Chautauqua, huh?
Yeah, he was unlucky, Jimmy. And But that's what Group 1 racing is about. There's no quarter asked or given, and it just wasn't his day. 1353 53, you can SMS us on 0419 767 272. Plenty more after this break.
Sky Sports Radio has the latest sports and racing news 7 days a week on Tab Talk. Tab Talk. With key betting updates and interviews with the stars. Tab Talk, every morning at 10, is a much-needed ingredient for backing that elusive winner. Right here on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
That's the sound of summer ending. And a glorious new season of AFL starting. And to welcome the footy season back, here's a terrific offer from the Tab. Place a head-to-head bet in rounds 1 to 4 of the AFL with your Tab account or Tab Rewards card. And if your team leads at any break but loses, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent points. Only at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. See tab.com.au for T's and C's. Gamble responsibly.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Jimmy, did you get to watch much of the Sydney FC game on Friday night?
Oh, just the highlights, mate. I saw the highlights. I was watching the rugby league, but I did read about it with great interest. And what a rap Phil Stubbins put on Alex Brosk.
Yeah, huge. And the man who can tell us a little bit more about that is the coach of Sydney FC, Graeme Arnold. Graeme, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, terrific. Well, first question I have to ask you, Arns, is how's the blood pressure?
I checked a few weeks ago. It was good then. But, on Friday night, it was obviously up a bit. But it's that time of season where we played against everyone three times, and the players seem to I think they've got a belief in their confidence is in the group that they do have an extra gear to go up. Obviously, I'm not happy about the defensive side of things when we let teams back in the game, but. Look, overall, the spectacle was very good, and it was, again, a good performance from us.
Yeah, Graeme, what about that comment from Phil Stubbins after the game that Alex Brosk is the best player in the league? You're probably a little bit biased given you're coaching him, but do you get surprised, amazed, or not surprised at all about what he does week to week?
No, look, he's been fantastic all year, but the last 6 weeks he's been exceptional. And, it just shows, he was in the Middle East, Jimmy, before he come back, and he was over there for 2-3 years, and over in the Middle East, the training is not as intense as what we train or what you train in Europe. And he's come back, and people at the start of the season were saying, he's still a good player, but he may have lost a yard of pace, but he's put a lot of work in the gym, and with Andrew Clark, my fitness coach, and he's got his yard of pace back, and he's never been a doubt about his touch. He's such a clever player and gets some spaces in between the lines. And not only is he scoring goals, he's creating goals as well.
Fair to say, Graham, he's got a great football brain, hasn't he? He gets himself into the right positions, whether he's going for goal himself or passing to say, Yanko or those sort of guys. He gets himself into the right spot.
Yeah, look, he's as I said, he's a very clever player. But one thing that goes unnoticed is his defensive work. He does a hell of a lot of work in defence in the front line, and takes the pressure off our midfield a bit. And that's been the other night. We probably didn't defend as well as what we have been from the front. And once you start doing that, that opens up the midfield and then puts pressure on the back line. But he's doing very well. And he's taken on the captaincy role very well.
Mm. Well, you challenged Melbourne victory after that win on Friday night. They responded with that 1-0 win last night. The Premier's plate now looks like it might be out of reach given the fact they've got the Central Coast Mariners next week. How important is that plate overall, Graeme, or is it just the Premiership that you're focused on?
Oh, look, it's you know, for me, the plate is always important because it shows you the most consistent over 27 rounds. And look, you know, we're never going to give up. We go to Wellington next week and, you know, plenty of things that happen in football. In Wellington, you get one or two players sent off and, you know, we're capable of putting five or six goals past a team. We've shown that this year, and Melbourne victory, if you know, they might be celebrating too early, and Central Coast Mariners could go there, and all they'd have to do is upset them by 1 or 2 nil, and we can get. So we're never going to give up, but, you know, I would say that, and, you know, a gallon record now is saying that, you know, victory have probably been the most consistent team over the year. We had a period in December where, you know, we lost four players with season-ending injuries, and we didn't win a game in 4 weeks. And at the end of the day, that's been the part of the season that's hurt us the most at the end, because if we'd picked up, been able to pick up points there before we were able to rebuild the side and bring recruitments in, then you know, we'd be well clear of Melbourne victory today.
And Graeme, the dangerous road trip going to Wellington to take on the Phoenix, but is this also a positive for you, given that it's going to have the team in the groove for finals footy a week early, basically?
Yeah, look, we've never had a fear of going to Wellington. It's, you know, it's an easy trip. You know, it's easier than going to Perth.
Yeah, good point.
You know, it's and the time difference goes forwards. So it's, you know, a 7 o'clock kickoff over there or 5 o'clock kickoff over there is like a 3 o'clock in the afternoon training session kickoff here. Where in Perth, a 7 o'clock kickoff over there is 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. So for me, the Wellington trip has always been easier. We were over there 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, and we beat them 3-0. And, you know, it's about enjoying the trip across, and it's just another game. You know, you just got to go there and stick to the game plan and, you know, carry out the tactical side of things. And at this time of the season, they're all fit. So take the game plan there and do what we can do.
Yeah, so many permutations about what might happen at the end of this A-League season. It's been an exciting finish. Graeme, we wish you well with that final game against Wellington and, of course, into the semi-final series. And great to have you on the program on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, guys. No problem at all.
Hey, good luck, Graeme.
Graeme Arnold, Sydney FC coach there. As we mentioned, they are up against Wellington away. I think they played their last three games away of the regular season.
Their home record hasn't been good, Jimmy. But
no, their away record's very good.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, that's the strange one about that. 1353-53 is the open line number. Now, the big guns of the competition, the Sydney Swans, were out in action against
Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah, what do we call them? Little Brother?
Well, the Battle of the Bridge, we call the sort of local derby against GWS. And,
yeah.
The Swannies are going along okay, Jimmy, and they're just a bit too classy across the board for GWS, who are showing good signs of improvement. But one of the guys from the Swans who I thought was excellent yesterday was Jake Lord. He's been good enough to join us bright and early. Jimmy, Jake, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, terrific win again from the boys, and tough game though. GWS are certainly showing signs of improvement this season, but you must be happy with the way the Swannies have started the season, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Credit to GWS yesterday. They come out very hard, and they really took us up to us for the full four quarters, but credit to the boys. They were able to hold on, and you know, it's a good way to start the season, 3-0.
Jake, how are you handling living in Sydney? I know you've been up here for a couple of years now. You're from Horsham in Victoria, but did it take you a while to adjust to the big smoke?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Country Victoria, it's a little bit different to the suburbs of Sydney, but no, I'm really enjoying my time up here at the moment, and you know, the beaches aren't far from home, so it's you know, a pretty nice spot.
Jake, who did you follow as a kid?
I was actually a Geelong man.
Okay, yeah.
My grandpa, yeah, persuaded me to go for the Cats when I was little. So, yeah, grew up idolising Jimmy Bartel and Gary Ablett. So.
And two, one of the all-time greats. The Swans picked you up in the 2013 rookie draft. Was when you got that call up, was it more about the case of getting the opportunity to play AFL rather than maybe not getting the club of your choice?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I was happy to go anywhere, and you know, I guess it's just like all players looking to get drafted. You just want that opportunity at AFL level, and you know, I'm very fortunate that Swans gave me that opportunity, and you know, I was lucky. I just had to work hard, you know, during the pre-seasons and continue to play good football in the reserves, and I was going to get my opportunity one day.
Yeah. No, you've hit the ground running in your AFL football. Goods, Franklin, Josh Kennedy, absolute superstars of the AFL. What's it like interacting with them? Did you have to pinch yourself early days to understand where you're at?
Oh, absolutely, mate. You know, walking, and Goods is actually a Wimmera boy himself, so he made it pretty easy for me. You know, walked up straight away, shook my hand, and, you know, that was all good, I guess. Walking in and seeing Lance Franklin standing there was, you know, I did have to kick myself a little bit, but, you know, now he's a teammate, he's a friend, so, yeah, it's an unreal.
Do you ever do you ever hang out at those cafes down at Bondi that Buddy's always at?
No, mate, unfortunately I don't. I'll stick to around the Coogee area. I'm not the Bondi billionaires, mate.
Well done, Jake. Hey, Jake, you made your debut last season against Fremantle, and next week you've got to make that road trip across to Perth to take on the Dockers. They're playing against West Coast this afternoon, so I hope there's a bash-up over there because you've got to make that road trip, but always tough over there against Fremantle.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. You know, we'll head over a bit early in the week, and I guess to play over there in front of their hostile environment, big ground, home game for them, it's always tough on the road, but, you know, the guys played really well last week and we had to travel to Adelaide against Port Adelaide, who are a quality side. So, you know, we'll review the game from yesterday and we'll move on to Fremantle as quick as we can. You know, they're a great side and, you know, it's a really important game for us.
Jake, this always fascinates me. Number 44 for the Swans. Why 44?
Yeah. Good question, mate. Look, when I first got in as a young rookie, I guess I didn't really have much of a choice of a lower number. So just stuck with a 44. And, you know, I played my first game in that jumper, so I was happy to carry it out. And I probably will for hopefully the rest of my career.
Okay, so you have the choice of changing that if you wanted to at a different stage.
Yeah, so I got the choice last year of changing numbers. But, yeah, as I said, I played my first game in that, so hopefully I can carry that number throughout my career.
Jake, just quickly, as a group, last year's grand final loss, does that still burn deeply within the group, or is it more of a case as a new season, just concentrate on what you can do going forward in 2015?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we reviewed that at the end of last year. We pointed out the areas we needed to work on, and, you know, it's a new year now. We move forward. We've got to get better as a group, and I guess, you know, we've had the ideal start to the year, but we've still got plenty to work on, and, you know, I guess it's always in the back of your head, but, you know, we've tried to move on as best we can, and we're just really looking forward to this year.
It's going to be huge. Jake, congratulations on the win yesterday. Congratulations on your own form as well. Great to chat to you on a Sunday morning, and good luck next week against Fremantle.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
there
Jake.
He is, Jake Lloyd from the Sydney Swans after their big win against Greater Western Sydney. Now, what about this, Raymond? We've gone from the A-League with Graham Arnold, the AFL with Jake Lloyd, and the absolute star for the Melbourne Storm last night in the National Rugby League.
It was outstanding, wasn't it?
Cracking game of football. Really great game of football. Cooper Cronk, the number 7 for Australia, for Queensland and for Melbourne, has been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Cooper.
Morning, guys. You guys sound busy this morning.
Pretty busy.
We're getting through it, Cooper. Yeah. We're getting through it. Mate, how did you pull up after that game? And gee, for the quality of the contest, given the conditions, I think that's what really surprised everyone, yourself included.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, one of the highest quality games we've been a part of this year, considering the conditions. Yeah, the way that they play their football, it's very physical, forward dominated up the middle third of the field, so we knew we were in for a pretty physical game, and to play the way we did, play the way they did, it was obviously good for the spectators.
It was fantastic to watch, Cooper. Congratulations. Can you take us through that field goal attempt in the dying seconds which clinched the win for the Storm?
What I was thinking. I was thinking about the one I missed against the Cowboys earlier. Look, obviously, we got ourselves in that position. We should have really locked out the game with 3 minutes to go, 6 ahead, but yeah, a little bit of an error there on the defensive part was disappointing, but, you know, the composure of the group to get back in the position and, you know, give ourselves an opportunity to obviously win it to the death.
Cooper, one of the big topics in the National Rugby League over the first 7 weeks has been the pressure that playmakers are being put under, whether it's as they pass the ball, sometimes even later than that. I know last week especially against the Raiders, there's a couple of times that I think Asiya Soliola got you.
Yeah, he didn't miss me.
He didn't miss the ribs, absolutely. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's worse this year than any other year? Do you think coaches are instructing players to target more often playmakers?
Look, I don't think they're targeting them individually, but I definitely think there's a concerted effort from teams to put pressure on ball players. Mm. And you know, when you do go to the line, unfortunately, part of the physicality of the game, you're going to make contact and some of it hurts. But you know, you never want to take away from that. But I think the key thing is once a player's welfare is hindered or at threat, I think that's the main one. So, look, as a ball player, I'm going to go to the line every day of the week to help my teammates be the best sort of attacking team we can be. If hits come, that's part of the deal. But I just think that if there's anything that's high or late, I think that the referees are doing a decent job of that.
Sure.
Cooper, the Storm, they're perennial finalists and invariably they're a force each and every year. How is the team shaping up in 2015? Now, you've gone to the top of the table or after seven rounds, but how do you think the team as a group is shaping up for 2015?
Yeah, I think we've definitely improved from last year. We were really disappointed with the way that we played throughout the regular season and then limped into the finals last year. So I don't know if that's in the back of the minds of people playing this year, but things that have changed around the club. I think our pre-season has gone up an extra level this year. I think we've had some really good recruits come into the club and added a new dimension to us both defensively and attack. And I know that the coaches have done their homework in terms of how the game's evolving in 2015. So put all that together, I think we're in a decent position. But let's be fair, everyone was talking about the Rabbitohs going through undefeated at the start of the year. And the position we are in now, the game is so volatile, it can change. So,
so close.
As long as we consistently train well, we train at that high level, I think our performance should match that.
Cooper, you're renowned for your preparation for games, and I think that's been a real focus and a key for Melbourne's success over a decade with Cameron Smith and Billy Slater. Given your age now, 31 years of age, do you have to prepare more, or is the body and the mind used to playing at that NRL level?
Definitely the body and the mind are used to it, but if you're talking in terms of hours, it's probably gone the other way. You get recovery through games, you get sore after games. So I'm actually taking a bit of a lesser approach this year in terms of my specific aspect, in terms of kicking skill-based related stuff. We do enough training hours on the paddock to improve ourselves that way. So I suppose at the age I am, you probably put a little bit more focus on recovery, extra massage, sort of rehab stuff to get your body right, because at the end of the day, you've been playing a long time, so it's nothing else is going to be thrown at you that you're not aware of come game day.
Yeah, well, you've got a big one against Manly next week on Anzac Day. It's going to be a cracker. Enjoy that one. And Cooper, I know it's a rostered day off for the players. You didn't have to do this interview, but certainly we appreciate it, and I'm sure the listeners would appreciate it as well.
No problem at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Cooper.
Cooper Cronk, the Melbourne Storm halfback. He'll be there for the Kangaroos, Raymond, in that Anzac test against New Zealand. He'll be there for Queensland State of Origin, barring injury, of course. And he is a standout player in the National Rugby League. We've got to take a break, mate, but very close to a wrap-up here, and then we will do that. Wrap it up.
Harvey Norman's first ever clearance outlet is now open. It's at Mascot in Sydney, full of manufacturer's seconds, ex-display stock, scratch and dent, factory refurbished units and end-of-line run-out models. It's all cheap, cheap, cheap and price to clear. Fridges, washers, air conditioning, TV, computers, furniture and outdoor bedding, flooring and lots, 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 lots more. You'll love the savings at Harvey Norman's clearance outlet, Gardeners Road, Mascot.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m. the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Good morning again, everybody. And at Brooklyn, M1 Pacific Motorway southbound, just past the Hawkesbury River Bridge, a couple of lanes out of action. All of them just opened one, and not far from it at Brooklyn on the old Pacific Highway, there's been a smash as well. Into the city on the Western Distributor, just past the York Street off-ramp, coming off the Harbour Bridge, a motorcycle and car accident, and heavy traffic up to the International Terminal from Marsh Street through to Mascot. Bunnings Rouse Hill won't be beaten on price. It has everything you need for the lowest prices every day. Bunnings Rouse Hill on Annengrove Road. Lowest prices are just the beginning. That's the latest traffic, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, wrapping up things here, Raymond. Steve would be fun at a dinner party. He'd talk underwater with a mouthful of concrete. That's one of our earlier callers. That comes from Master Monkey. Yeah, he'd give you a long...
He wasn't quite sure he was going with that. I thought he was going to say back distant. But
yeah. Well, I tell you what he would do. He'd give you a long dissertation about whether asparagus is the better vegetable than broccoli at the dinner party. I know that.
Great show today. I really enjoyed that insight from Cooper Cronk in particular. And Jake Lloyd, he's a young gun on the way up, Jimmy.
Yeah. And Graham Arnold as well. Miracle Mal was in earlier. And we had Peter Moody. We had Jimmy Cassidy, we had Sam Clippin, and so a very full program, mate, and well done to you for helming it all from up in Sydney there. And a big thank you to Alice, our panel operator today, too.
She was fantastic. Travel safe back from Melbourne. Jimmy, look, on Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Racing Retro with Ron Duffacy, Richard Freeman and Brent Serrar for bringing you all your Sunday morning racing news and reviews. Let's join our host, Matthew Browning.
Very good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Racing Retro. It was the final day of Group 1 racing in Sydney for the season. Two Group 1s on the program there at Royal Randwick on Saturday, the all-age stakes and also the champagne stakes. And incredibly, they were won by stablemates. Peter Moody had a great day there. He won the two Group 1s and he won another Group 3 race on the program. So well done to all involved in the Moody stable. There was also feature racing at Caulfield, 10 races on the card, and Morphettville, where their carnival is coming up over the next few weeks. The boys are here. Ron Duffacy was there at Randwick yesterday. Good morning to you, Ron.
Yeah, g'day, mate. What a carnival it's been. Some fantastic racing. And as you said, a terrific day for Peter Moody and his stable. He had the three winners. Two Group 1s, a Group 3. He also bred the Macau Derby winner yesterday. Wow. And get a kick out of that as well. And what about this horse, Our Boy Malachi? He's getting a bit of a cult following, deservedly so.
Not surprisingly.
He is a complete racehorse.
Oh, I love him. And they certainly love him in Rockhampton, where he did his early racing. Richard Freeman is here. He was at Randwick yesterday also. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Matt. Morning, Ron. Yes, I agree with everything you said, Ron. And it was Peter Moody's day. But it was also a day for the older jockeys. I mean, we had Jim Cassidy winning another Group 1 race over the carnival at the age of 52. He's a marvel. This week we saw Kevin Sweeney, who's been an absolute doyen of the Southern Districts and South Eastern Racing Association since I was a boy. I can remember Kevin, you know, riding horses. He retired this week, so I think that's a big deal too. And Jeff Lloyd, who is another one of our senior jockeys, rode a double at Doomben yesterday and got absolutely ragdolled in a fall. Looked terrible, but he walked away, thankfully. So it was a bit of a tumultuous day for our senior jockeys.
Mm, certainly was. We wish Jeff well, and also Kevin Sweeney. You're right. What a wonderful career he's had. Let's get to Royal Randwick. Brent Serrar is joining us from Randwick, where the carnival is pretty much over. But don't forget, we've still got Hawkesbury's big day coming up, and Scone's carnival is not far away. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, everyone. Some big news coming out of yesterday's meeting. Spoke with Gay Waterhouse this morning, and all the intention is for Wongina, the three-year-old who was beaten by Dissonant in the all-age stakes, to travel to England to Royal Ascot to compete in the Golden Jubilee. Now, we already have Shamal Wind and Brazen Bow set to fly the flag for Australia at the Royal meeting, potentially Criterion 2. And at this stage, the plans are quite confident that Wongina would also be heading there. Discussions are being made whether he'll have a run in potentially in Brisbane or whether he goes straight to Royal Ascot. But we're good to see the three-year-old go there and potentially race in the Golden Jubilee.
Fantastic. Looks like we're going to be well represented abroad this year. Thank you for that, Brent. Also, welcome to all of our listeners this morning. We these days are broadcast on the Sky Sports Radio Network. So if you're listening in this morning, welcome to you. And, of course, all of our Kiwi viewers across New Zealand through the Trackside Network. If you have a comment on yesterday's racing, we'd certainly like to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter, at Racing Retro. We're on Facebook. Check out the Sky Racing Retro Facebook page. It's facebook.com/racingretro. Or through our website, skyracing.tv/feedback. Okay, let's check out some races. And we head to Randwick for the running of the All Age Stakes. The favourite was Chautauqua at $3.
And we're ready. Racing, and Wanjana wide out won the break together with Dissident quickly surging forward. Scissor Kick away well, followed by Terra Vista, then Fontalina. Chautauqua's a lot handier from the low draw and punching through on the rails, followed by Rebel Dane. Fontalina drifting back. Lucky Hustler's off the course and a bit keen, followed by Famous Seamus, Laser Hawk, and General Leafe's been taken back to last. Wanjana leads in the early part from Dissident going up to sit outside. Shooting to win drives to third from Scissor Kick. Chautauqua was caught three deep and Terra Vista's off the track, and Bowman allows Terra Vista to go forward and race a length clear from Chautauqua, who'll drop back and get into its slipstream. Lucky Hustler to the outside, then Rebel Dane from Fontalina, Famous Seamus well back in the field, then is Laser Hawk from Weary, and General Leafe's last running to the turn, and it's the Guineas winner Wanjana in front from Dissident and Terra Vista. Chautauqua goes to fourth, wider out. Lucky Hustler's the widest around the turn, shooting to win behind them, and Scissor Kick driving through. Wanjana racing up the rise in front from Dissident. Terra Vista. Bowman sits quietly. Chautauqua under pressure from Lucky Hustler. It's Dissident and Terra Vista. Wanjana fights back the inside. Chautauqua has got a lift. Lucky Hustler keeps coming. Dissident put its head in front from Wanjana, who won't sit down. Wanjana's coming back at Dissident. Dissident with its head in front. Cassidy will get it home. Dissident gets up in the all-age stakes from Wanjana, and off to study goes. Chautauqua next from Scissor Kick.
What a win. Oh, listen, he's never got the accolades, this colt. He's raced in group level from day one, five group ones. Won his first start, won his last. You're mad if you don't send a mare to him.
You knew he was flying today, didn't you?
I was really pleased with him. Listen, credit to my staff in Melbourne. They've done a tremendous job to bring him back. The last run, we're a little bit disappointed. We've had him up here for 10 or 12 days, and when Jimmy galloped him here last Friday, I just wanted to convince him how well he was going, and it convinced all of us.
And what a special win it was for Jim too. Dissident, he's won four Group 1s this season. He's won the Memsie, Mackaybe Diva, Orr Stakes, and now the All Age Stakes. He's had a great season. Claire Cunningham does a terrific job looking after the Sydney stables for Peter Moody, and she's our special guest on Racing Retro this morning. Claire, thank you for joining us. What a great way for Dissident to finish his racing career with a win in a Group 1 race. It's quite deserving, isn't it?
It's very deserving. He's been such an asset and a lovely horse to have around the stables, and it was just a fairy tale ending to have him win the Group One, and typical fighting it out in his style. It was thrilling.
Claire, how did the team celebrate? Obviously, Pete headed straight back to Melbourne, but I can imagine it was a big team effort there yesterday, and plenty of happy people would have been associated with this horse.
That's it. It's a huge team effort. I got a few text messages, and we sent a few myself to congratulate the team back home. Steph Little, Jeff O'Connor, the racing manager. You know, it's a huge team effort, and they obviously prep Dissident for a lot of the prep leading into this race, and they deserve a lot of credit. As my team here went in this morning with a big $70 worth of McDonald's. It was very, very little, and I'm sure there's more to come. But there was a real good thrill, and you know, a good atmosphere in the stable. We work hard, and it's very deserving. And like I said, he's a horse to celebrate.
Claire, you say the Melbourne team got him ready, but you've had a lot to do with this horse early on in Sydney, so you know him pretty well.
Yeah, it's a team effort. The Victorian team worked very closely to us in Sydney, and we've both had a part in prepping him in all his career, and it's a team effort. So a big thanks to everyone, really, and big congratulations to everyone. It's no one in particular. It's the farriers, the vets, the horse masseuse. It's no one person, and obviously Peter is the mastermind of it all.
Must be very personally satisfying, though, Claire, because I think Peter's had five Group 1 winners this season. Correct me if I'm wrong, we're four of the five in Sydney.
Yes. I think so. I'm not sure who's counting, but a win's a win. It's all great to see the horses achieve at whatever level. And you can tell me the numbers.
And it's definitely over for him now. He goes to stud. There's no Brisbane plans at all, is there?
No, I believe not. He's gone out in such a great order now, and I believe that had been the plan with him. You guys know his record. He's achieved to the highest level throughout his whole life. He's going to be a fantastic stallion. You know, his career and the way he's been in the high-intensity races throughout all his life, and the durability and the ability, it's a great testament to the type of horse he is, and he's going to make such a great stallion.
And I'd suggest Peter got more of a kick out of this as probably anything. The story is he owned him, he got left with the horse early on, he on-sold him, and the new owners are happy, everyone's happy.
That's it. I haven't seen it in the time that I've worked for Pete. I haven't seen him walk down the straight to grab the horse and walk it back to the winning stall. So it meant a lot to him. And like he had said throughout Dissident's career, he hadn't got the chance to do that as an owner. And now he had sold him, he wanted to get the last walk in. So I think he got a thrill out of that and some lovely photos.
There was a good gallop here last Tuesday morning. Now in hindsight, Dissident gallop with Pasadena Girl at the stay at the time. Was it a workout that seemed to think we could win two Group Ones on Saturday?
Both horses were in terrific order. It was a gallop that Huey rode Pasadena, and it was good for him to get on her back and see how well she was going. Both similar horses. She's amazingly gutsy, and he obviously needed the tick over gallop. He's a horse that never, you got to get it out of him. He never gives the even gallops and to the racing level, he never gives it willingly. So it was a nice competitive gallop here on the course proper, and Huey come back very pleased with the little filly and didn't realise who was actually galloping against until he walked back in, and he's, ooh, the eyes lit up. And, it's just been one of those seasons. It's you know, you have your highs and lows, but I was thinking this morning, this time last year, you have horses that just aren't coming up in time and little problems that just have setbacks, and that's why you have those quiet seasons. And this season, it's unbelievable how the horses are just turning up in such great order and having... no problems leading into these races, which makes such a strong team and have this, you know, the competition and the great record that we have had.
Stay with us, Claire. We'll continue our chat, Tay, in just a moment. Let's have another look at the All Age Stakes. And Ron, obviously, we've chatted about the winner there, Dissident, but gee, he was very game, Wanjana. We've heard they've got big plans for him.
Well, this was a farcically run race. They slowed up. There was horses checking off heels and pulling, and then the two old hardheads up front, Cassidy and Oliver, they just read the play here. They might have got their heads together. Let's just slow them up here and, best man to the line. That's how it seemed to be. It was just Chautauqua had barrier one. I think it was his downfall. He did a good job getting off the fence when they slowed up, Tommy, and he just hit a flat spot, which is not normal for Chautauqua, and then he picks himself up again late here and runs on. But I just think that all comes down to the tempo of the race.
Just looking at Chautauqua there, he did get into that scrimmage about 200 to 300 metres after the start, and that he was going to be on the rail and sitting pretty there, but he got forced to check off heels, which pushed Terra Vista even wider. Terra Vista went forward then and basically sat outside the leader for the last half of the race with no cover. He's basically pulled up distressed. I don't know what the veterinary report has been on him, but he did pull up with some level of distress. And Chautauqua, I don't know how to read his run. It wasn't a bad run. It was a pretty good run from the favourite, but I just wonder whether he does get the full 1,400 metres at that level. I know at lower levels he has won at 1,400 metres, but at that level is a different thing. You know, it's a different sort of pressure. So I just wonder if he does. I'm sure we'll find out over the next year or two.
Hmm.
Well, there was some concern for Terra Vista late yesterday after he pulled up quite short in that race. There was nothing that the vets could find of other than a poor post-race recovery, but Joe Pride said the horse is certainly going to go for a spell and would be scoped on Monday to determine the full extent of whether there is actually something wrong. But you'd have to suggest there was, considering how he performed. Certainly not up to scratch there. Chautauqua, Tommy Berry just said the pace of the race didn't help him at all. When the horses in front of him crossed, they really slackened the speed, and his horse got over racing. Chautauqua had been racing in 11 and 1200 metre races with the speed on, got to a 1400 where there was not as much tempo, and he just over raced and then sort of got into a bad spot and almost fell, clipped heels at one point. So certainly an admirable effort from Chautauqua considering.
Let's hear from a few other jockeys that rode in the race. So we might start with Ty Anglin. Scissor Kick ran a good fourth.
Ty Anglin, Scissor Kick.
Yeah, great run. Would like to get out on the point of the corner and wind him right up down the outside, but where I was stuck in behind the winners, and he went great.
Tommy Berry, Chautauqua.
Yeah, they didn't give me a heap of room when they crossed me, and when they did, and then they dropped the pace straight away, he just wouldn't relax.
Blake Shin, Rebel Dane.
Yeah, look, it was certainly a bit below par and what we expected. Rebel Dane, we got a lovely run from the gate, followed up behind Terra Vista and Chautauqua, but yeah, he didn't finish off like I know he can.
Glenn Schofield, Weary.
Yeah, look, he had to go back from his wide gate, but he finished the race off really well, and I think they might set him up over more ground now.
Tim Clark shooting to win.
Yeah, box eight, Dimmy, he wasn't good enough.
Just before we finish up on the All Age Stakes, what a special win that was for Jim Cassidy. His wife Vicky lost her sister Marion last Wednesday, so he was riding there with a lot of emotion yesterday. It was a special win for him, and he's been riding so well lately too. Won the Sydney Cup last week, comes out and wins with Dissident, obviously with a bit of pressure on his shoulders. Great rider.
You know, limited opportunities as well. To win two Group 1s when you've only got a handful of rides is a feather in his cap.
Amazing that he keeps his fitness as high as he does, because I guess he's not doing as much riding as he used to do in races. So it must be hard for a man 52 to keep his fitness at that level, but it's certainly there. He's as strong as an ox in a finish.
104 Group 1s. Yep. Claire, High World, just one or two of these other winners there at Randwick yesterday for the Peter Moody stable. High World won the Packer Plate. It's been a good horse's race over the years. Is he a young horse with a staying future?
Yeah, a huge upside to this horse here. Every time we bring him out, he matures and improves in his racing. It was really good to see him able to settle in the 2,000 metres and finish off the way he did. We were a tad bit concerned. That's why the blinkers come off, just because he had been racing so keenly. He goes out now with having a great autumn, and it'll just depend on how he spells and how he matures. Hoping, what we expect will occur. It'll just depend on how he preps up and if he'll be a weight for age horse or a handicap horse for the spring. We're really happy with this horse. He's full of class. He's got all the right assets. He's light on his feet. He's not bully at all. Let's just hope he matures and comes back to the degree that we think he will.
And Claire, a Pasadena girl, it just seems all upside with her. To do what she's done so far is amazing.
She's unbelievable. Everyone would have seen her by now, but you could fit two of her inside most of those horses in the mountain yard yesterday. But, gee, she's full of fight. She's unbelievable, the attitude she's gotten. You saw that yesterday in the fight to the line. She's another one with her breeding. We'll go out and hopefully mature and strengthen. But, she doesn't need to do much more. She's already showing a lot of ability. But she's another one that will go through early spring in the nice little fillies race. I think Pete said the flight stakes and maybe the guineas, and then depending on how she, how competitive she's in within them, might be a great little Oaks filly. Yeah.
We're going to talk about her a bit more with Hugh Bowman in just a moment. But Claire, thank you for joining us, and well done. You're doing a great job there for the Peter Moody stable in Sydney, and really getting the results. We're really happy for you.
Thanks, guys, and can I just say a little shout-out to Barry Rowe and my family for their support, and like I said before, big thanks to the team and congratulations.
Well done. Very media savvy too, always very good to us, is Claire.
Is he over the line for the Horse of the Year now?
He's got to be up there. You'd think he's got to be right there with it. I mean, Adelaide would have been Horse of the Year if he'd won
his challenges?
Queen Elizabeth, he'd have won the two biggest weight for age races, but he didn't win there, so... It's a wide open horse of the year, but he probably has to start favourite. For sure.
Thought so. Four group ones. All right, we'll take a short break and we'll come back with more on Racing Retro.
Coming up, Hugh Bowman joins us as we take a look at the babies tackling the Champagne Stakes, as well as the undercard from Randwick. International Group 1 racing. Star Japanese 3-year-olds in the Satsuki Show. Japan 2000 guineas. Live from Nakayama, today on Sky Racing.
Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality. Now on offer at Colt with Speed to Burn, with Magic Millions winning trainer Bjorn Baker. By not a single doubt, champion sire of two-year-olds including Miracles of Life, Karuta Queen, and our very own Doubtfully.
This is a smashing colt. I trained the three-quarter brother Malmsteen, and he goes very well.
Join the Derby Racing Bjorn Baker team and secure your share by calling 0246 480 998. Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience.
There are now two ways to celebrate this year. That's with the taste sensation sweeping Australia, Birdie and Birdie Pink. It's lively, fruity and soft with a delightful, refreshing taste. Birdie and Birdie Pink are perfect for casual and outdoor entertaining. And best of all, it's well priced. Birdie is the ideal way to celebrate any occasion. Birdie and Birdie Pink, now available at your favourite liquor outlet.
Dissident goes in. Peter Moody's won this race four times in the past 5 years. Dissident standing fairly well. Very quickly away was Dissident. He's going to be right on the speed looking for a front-running role.
Dissident claims a lead. Entirely Platinum's boxing on the inside, but Dissident comes away. Dissident beats Entirely Platinum by a length and a half. Meridian's run another crack at third.
And it's Dissident who gives Peter Moody his fifth win in the past 6 years in the CF4 Stakes. It's quite an extraordinary run and a real sign that he is back. And Peter Moody and the top-rated horse at the meeting has delivered a powerful victory.
The Barrister takes up the running again. The winner of the Fernhill last weekend, and the Barrister's going along at a strong pace. 2.5 lengths clear from takedown. Back in third, Street Rapper from Odyssey Moon. Then Mine 2 from Tarquin. Reckless Russell, the favourite, back third last, the outside, Pasadena Rose. And 2 lengths last of all is Road Assassin as they race down the side of the course. And the Barrister trying to make all. 2 lengths in front of takedown is shooting for 4 straight wins. Street Rapper in third from Odyssey Moon. Then Mine 2 from Tarquin. Pasadena Girl, Reckless Russell and Road Assassin is still last, but on the point of the turn, and the Barrister is full of running, turning the corner from takedown, giving a rev up in second. Street Rapper gets close to the outside. Odyssey Moon, the inside, further back to Tarquin, Mine 2, and Pasadena Girl is now letting rip down the outside, but the Barrister going strongly at the 200 metres from Street Rapper, grinding away. Pasadena Girl's coming with a big run now. Pasadena Girl on the outside goes up to Street Rapper. They're beaten off the Barrister. It's Pasadena Girl drawing alongside Street Rapper, and Pasadena Girl, the favourite, too good, takes out the Champagne Stakes from Street Rapper.
She's a little ripper, Pete.
Yeah, she's a little gem. You know, it's probably only the heavy ground that cost her the size the other day. In fairness to the opposition, you know, she ran super, and she's backed that up again today with a very solid performance.
Well, you didn't see it all late in the season, but she's come along so quickly in the punters' minds.
Yeah, well, when I purchased her, I expected her to be probably going to the races this time next year.
Right.
So, you know, she surprised us. She's got an unbelievable attitude towards racing and towards her work for a little filly. She's butted up for the fourth time here, and she's probably presented bigger and stronger on each occasion, even though she's only a pony. So only upwards and onwards from here for her.
She'd only had 3 previous starts. She'd won twice down the straight at Flemington and run a good fourth in the ATC size. Hugh Bowman is joining us, the jockey of Pasadena Girl, to win the Champagne Stakes. Hugh, good morning to you. Thank you, as always, for joining us. She looks like a nice filly in the making, maybe in 6 months' time. What was your impression of Pasadena Girl?
Well, I was very impressed with her, naturally. She's obviously got a great deal of talent, and being, I think Pete just hit the nail on the head when he suggested that she'll come back a better 3-year-old. You know, to me, physically and even mentally, the penny hasn't quite dropped, and to be performing at this level, with the maturity that she has, I think is just a bonus, and she's gonna be certainly a force in the fillies races come the springtime.
Hugh, a big effort from yourself to get down to the 54.5 kilos. At what point did you accept for the ride and really know she was going to be a strong, genuine chance in the race?
When I went and looked at the replay of the size, I knew she was going to be a strong chance in the race. And you know, Pete, when he asked me to ride her, he was very bullish about her chances. And you know, although I haven't ridden a whole lot for the stable, the little bit that I have had to do with him, I find Peter to be a realist. He doesn't mince his words, he doesn't muck about, and you know, I knew when he asked me that she was going to be a force to be reckoned with, and she certainly showed what she's capable of.
What were you thinking when you got to the track on Tuesday morning and thinking you had to ride 54 and a half and you saw this little runty thing they're legging you up on?
Well, to be honest, after I galloped her, I thought, you know, because obviously I was aware that the barrister may well back up, and I'd ridden him, I'd only cantered him actually in the lead up to the Fernhill win, and after the gallop, just walking back, I thought, oh, I might be on the wrong horse here. And I said to Steve Parr, I said, look, Steve, what are you on, mate? And he said, I'm on Dissident. And I didn't need any encouragement from then on. I knew I was on the right one. And as I said, form doesn't lie. I wouldn't be the best at assessing form as such. You know, I'm sort of better at just feeling the horses, and I get a better guide through that. But, you know, I was well aware of what Pride of Dubai is capable of. And, you know, he's one of the best two-year-olds I've ridden, and this filly was a real eye-catcher behind him. And in fairness to her, the race probably wasn't run to suit her in the size produce. In fact, I think they went quicker in the champagne than they did in the size produce. So, you know, the race wasn't run to suit for her over the 1400. It was run to suit yesterday, but look, I think you'll find she'll be the best horse coming out of that race. And like I said, back to filly's company in the spring, she'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Hugh, that track looked to be playing towards the fence and, you know, towards the leaders early in the day, but you were content not to try and get into those positions. How did you read that track throughout the day?
Look, I thought it played fairly. I actually thought it was worn ground yesterday. You know, it's third meeting. We've had obviously some rain affected ground over the carnival, so it was feeling the effects the track yesterday. But I thought it actually played a bit fairer than it did last weekend, where it just seemed you really had to be near the rails, whereas yesterday you didn't have to be near the rails. You could win from anywhere. So I thought although it was worn ground, it was fair ground.
Hugh, at the 54.5 kilos, is that something you think you can be doing more often going forward, or is just for these big Group 1 races?
Depends on the horse, Brent. You know, it's not easy. And, you know, a ride 56 is pretty comfortable. 55.5 is doable on an everyday basis if necessary. But getting below that, you know, even 55. I rode 55 on Wednesday and last Saturday, and I was really feeling the effects on Wednesday, so it's all about preparation and, you know, about quality of life too. You know, if I wanted to live my life with, you know, it's very mentally draining, more so than probably physically, riding these light weights. And that's why I opt not to do it on a regular basis. And I actually probably learnt that from Nashua Willer when he was here. I used to watch the way he used to manage his weight, and we're of a similar build. And, you know, I was riding 55 all the time. He wouldn't ride much under 56. And I think for consistency, and I think I'm definitely a better rider when I'm not consistently riding too light.
Stay with us, Hugh. Let's have one more look at this Champagne Stakes, Ron. Pasadena Girl, she got a fair way back in the race. She only had two behind her as we pick up this replay.
Yeah, but as you said, they were rolling along, so I still think he was comfortable where he was, and she was presented at the right time. She's an interesting filly, like, who could easily train on into the spring and be a real Oaks candidate.
Well, Flight Stakes, 1,000 guineas, that'd all be nice races, wouldn't it?
This wasn't a vintage, let's face it, Champagne Stakes. So only time will tell I thought this leader was great.
The barrister.
The barrister. He missed the start. He drove to the front. And I thought he showed a really good kick. Street Rapper. That was a good fighting performance. But this filly just asserted a superiority late here. Odyssey Moon. That's the end. He's come to the end of a long preparation, so he'll be better next preparation as well.
And that was Road Assassin running on in the fifth there. He finished off the race well. But I have to give Pete Moody a big accolade for buying that filly. He's paid $25,000 for her, not by a fashionable sire at the time.
Well, he's a pretty good sire.
If you sell that yearling in Australia, a small yearling by him in Australia, you're not going to pay a lot. And he didn't pay a lot, paid $25,000. Founder. Didn't have any preconceived ideas about her. He said, I thought she'd be racing, you know, next year, not this year. But still put her into work,
yep.
Gave her opportunity to show, and did that, and she's come up. And look, every chance she can go on as a three-year-old. It'll be tough for her, perhaps, as a four-year-old, because anyone, once you race over a mile as a four-year-old in this country, you're not just racing against your own age and sex a lot of the time, you're now racing against all the European imports as well. So it's a very, very different game. But there's a long three-year-old year in front of her, and she'll win plenty of races.
I think you're spot on. And Moody can go and buy $1 million yearlings. He's got clients galore.
Yeah.
But to put your head on the chopping block and say, I want to put a $25,000 horse in one of my boxes and take up $1 million or couple $100,000 yearling spot.
It's a good effort.
Great foresight and great training and a great eye for a horse.
Yeah, well done.
You mentioned the barrister ran a good race there. Of course, he won the Fernhill handicap there over 1,600 metres recently. Let's hear from the barrister's jockey, Tommy Berry.
Tommy Berry, the barrister.
Yeah, he wanted to go a little bit keen in the run. He's done a big job this preparation, so he'll be nice next prep.
Glenn Boss, mine too.
Yeah, nice filly in for the future. She'll probably go to Tate now. Didn't run the trip out. It appears on paper she didn't quite run it out.
Yeah, he's disappointing today. Maybe he's just had enough. I think he's probably not one of his worst runs, but he's better than that and deserved a good spell now.
Thanks. Street Rapper.
Yeah, look, great run. We had a great run in transit, but it was a hot speed and it was a test. Testing mile, which played into my hands. He toughed it out well, and he's going to make a lovely three-year-old, I think.
James McDonald, Tarquin.
Yeah, it went really well. I was happy with him.
Okay, so the final two Group 1 races run at Randwick yesterday for the season, the all-age stakes and the champagne stakes. Let's have a look at, while Hugh's with us, why don't we go back to the first race on the program there. It was the E-Group Sprints, and let's pick up the replay.
Love Sport on the fence from Mademoiselle Grand Punto. Further back to Dublin, last private secretary, still third last. From Bachman and Field Marshal is last as they straighten up, and Mojave in front by a length on Boss Lane. King Cobia third, followed by Open Book. Aussie's Love Sport is travelling into the clear now. Mojave a length and a half to Boss Lane. Aussie's Love Sport, private secretary, still back second last. Mojave in front. Off the fence now, Dublin last with a big run. Aussie's Love Sport the outside, but Dublin last sprinted to the lead and kicked away from Aussie's Love Sport. Then Mojave and Dublin last eased down. Dublin last a half length at the end to Aussie's Love Sport. Mojave third, Mademoiselle late.
Dublin Lass, she was first up after a spell, and she's got a few nice targets ahead, I believe. Hawkesbury, Scone, and the Brisbane Carnival. Looks like she's come back in good order. Hugh, we see her there, $13 on the results there. Were you expecting her to race so well, Dublin Lass?
Well, I was just went in with an open mind. I had a nice draw. She appeared to trial well recently at Warwick Farm in what was a pretty decent heat, and she wasn't asked to do a lot under Blake Shin, but look, she had good form last preparation, and she's shown before that she's got a dynamite finish if she's held up for that run, and the race was run to suit. I got the breaks, but you know, I had the horse to capitalise on them.
It's a mare that usually trains on after a couple of runs, so that's probably encouraging for you.
I would have thought so, yes. I don't think I've had anything to do with the horse before. I've ridden to work once or twice, but no, I didn't ride her last preparation, and that's the first feel I've had of her under race conditions, and I was certainly impressed with she felt just how she looked pretty impressively.
Hugh, one of the other rides on the day, Terra Vista, take us through what you thought in the all-age stakes.
Yeah, it was a funny run race. I mean, there was no pace whatsoever, and it went from slow to slower mid-race, and that's when Tommy found himself in a bit of strife on Chautauqua. Lucky not to come down beside me, but that put me in, you know, that's forced my hand to just press forward and sit outside the leaders, which, you know, in hindsight really wasn't a bad thing. It put me where I needed to be as far as the way the race was being run, but he certainly is not himself. You know, there's nothing obviously wrong with him, but there's obviously something wrong because horses, they don't stop like that if all's well and good. So I'll be interested to see. I'll speak to Joe when he gets a report back from. He'll obviously have his vet checks done and all the rest of it. But no, he just hasn't seemed to have come up this time in.
Hugh, what's the plan for you going forward? Do you base yourself in Brisbane for the carnival or Melbourne for the spring? Have you got any overseas adventures that you want to take?
Good question, Richard. No, look, we'll be staying put at the moment. Obviously, Christine and I, we're due our second child in the middle of June, so that sort of put to sleep any chance of going away for the winter this year. So I'll hang around Sydney. I will be going to Brisbane naturally for the carnival, but I'll be up and back. I won't be basing up there. I'll be here in Sydney and flying up for the weekends. And, of course, come the springtime, we'll most likely hang around Sydney for the Sydney Carnival and then do what we've been doing the last few years and head down to Melbourne. So that formula seems to be working well for me and getting great support wherever I go at the moment. So that's a big help and just trying to do what I can with the opportunities I've got.
Excellent. And Hugh, as we come towards the end of the Sydney Autumn Carnival, just looking back on the carnival, have you been happy with your form?
Yeah, I've been delighted with the way things have gone. You know, it's like anything. Things change and, you know, I lost a couple of rides through the wash-up and I gained a couple and obviously I was suspended there. I missed BMW day, so it's been a bit of a mixed bag, but all in all, I think it's been a very successful carnival and I was particularly proud to have won the Nathan Berry medal for the leading rider at the championships, and that actually meant a great deal to me, and I've come out with a few group ones as well, so it's been excellent, and you know, looking forward to Brisbane now.
Well done. Well, congratulations on yesterday and your form over the last few weeks, and as always, thanks for dropping in and chatting with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always good to talk to Hugh Bowman. All right, so let's take a break on Racing Retro. As we do that, let's have a look at a few other features there at Royal Randwick.
In a small field for the Frank Packer Plate, Peter Moody's High World was well supported to make it a hat-trick of wins. After doing some work early to find the lead, he slowed them up to put paid to his rivals, with one eye looking to some big races in the spring.
High World, he pops the question to it now from High Midnight. Marion and Winetails get cracking down the outside, but High World has sprinted. Got two in front of Marion and Winetails is trying to lift the outside. It's High World on the fence, a length and a half clear from Winetails. They've beaten off Marion, but High World with the easy leads found a kick, and High World has drawn clear to win it by two.
The JHB Car Stakes was a typically open fillies race, which included three interstate runners. Peeping jumped the favourite despite backing for almost every runner, including Matalesia and Sapara. With on-pace runners looking to be suited, they ran along quickly early, which set it up for something to come from behind.
What our Pittsburgh Fire and Peeping make their runs together. Peeping might have its head in front from Pittsburgh Fire. It continues to grind away. It's Peeping's Pittsburgh Flyer, Slightly Sweet, sprinting quickly now, and Slightly Sweet takes the run. Rush to the front from Peeping. Arnius the fence, wide out Sabrina, but Slightly Sweet under top weights drawing clear. Slightly Sweet from Arnius.
In the final race of the Autumn Carnival, it was fitting to find all the big stables represented with live chances. Medcore for Godolphin was well supported, but endured a torrid run three wide, whilst Ecuador for Gay Waterhouse, who was first up for close to 400 days, led them up and looked the winner.
Lauhu's got plenty of room on the fence, followed then by Medcore, who's done it tough. Further back then to Riker, and Burbro's making some good ground. It's Strawberry Boy wobbling under pressure. Ecuador's getting on terms. Ecuador and Strawberry Boy. Rugged Cross has got the last shot at them. Ecuador hits the lead. Ecuador just in front. Charging through now is Rugged Cross. Rugged Cross. Rugged Cross got up to nail Ecuador in the last bound.
Oh,
Up next, we'll take a look at the Hallmark Stakes and JRA Plate as we wrap up a terrific 3 days from Randwick.
Audi Quattro, all conditions are good conditions. For a limited time, receive complimentary registration, stamp duty and VTT across 51 Quattro models. The Audi Quattro Drive Sales event is now on.
Harvey Norman, biggest ever 7-day technology sale. Computers, cameras, mobiles, fitness and more on sale now. Save $60 on this Acer laptop, just $336 plus $39 cash back. Unlock Lumia smartphone, $95. Incredible. Super price on the Nikon D3200 digital SLR camera, just $488. Parrot flying and rolling spider drones, $96 each. Fitbit Flex activity trackers, only $86. SanDisk flash drives from $4 each. More in store and online. Biggest ever 7-day technology sale at Harvey Norman now.
International Group 1 Racing. Star Japanese 3-year-olds in the Satsuki Show. Japan 2000 Guineas. Live from Nakayama, today on Sky Racing.
And Vancouver, the favourite, roars away for Tommy Berry.
Hello, Crown. He makes it 4 starts, 4 wins.
Set square, drill away on the oak. And Exo's Fear canes him.
Shovel win, got up to win.
Think about it. Almost 1 in 4 group races run in Australia this season have been won by sons and daughters of Dali Stallion. That's 24% of the very best races in the land. Dali, your blueprint for black tie.
The feedback so far?
I don't know, TK. It's just a lovely show. Everyone likes watching the form line.
No, I reckon it's a ripping race.
Tipping one win is just too easy. You've gone for a multi. Any money left at all in the tin there, Ronnie?
No damage done, TK.
Great race coming up and they're ready to run. Gates open, they're off. And Vasquez missed the start somewhat and Rain Affair won the break clearly. Lands a length and a half in front of Craftiness, railing through. Our boy Malachi put right up on the speed. Followed just behind them to Hidden Warrior in fourth. Then Decision Time on the rails. Vasquez on the improve from Fast and Rocking Charlie Boy. A length further back then over on the inside to Heart Tester. Followed by Big Money has got well back from Rock Sturdy. Wouldn't it be nice? And Target Insights last as Rain Affair zips out with a 2-length lead on Our Boy Malachi stalking in second, followed then by over on the inside as they race up to the home turn. Vasquez in a very prominent position. Hidden Warrior the outside from Vasquez, then Fast and Rocking Decision Time as they straighten up. And Rain Affair's got a long lead from Our Boy Malachi, who's just being nursed along by Berry in second. Now he pops the question, giving chase to Rain Affair. Craftiness the inside, but Our Boy Malachi is starting to dig in deeply now. Clear from Hidden Warrior and further back to Fast and Rocking. Our Boy Malachi races to the front. Craftiness on the inside's trying hard, but it's the Rocky Rocket. Our Boy Malachi, he does it again. That's 17 from 19, beats Craftiness. Hidden Warrior third, then Fast and Rocking Charlie Boy late.
You've always had the Queensland winner in mind. You've got 3 races already pegged out.
Yeah, obviously after last prep we decided we'll give him a crack at the Stradbroke, and you know, he'll run the BTC Cup and then 10,000 Stradbroke, and that's the path we've sort of set for him. And yeah, he took on some good sprinters today, but he's a good sprinter himself.
He's a very good horse, Our Boy Malachi. Look, they not only love him in Rockhampton, they're starting to love him all over Australia. As Darren mentioned in the call there, he's had 19 starts for 17 wins. I mean, that's an incredible record for any athlete, for any horse, isn't it?
What a star. What an absolute star he is. He's he's just got a tremendous will to win. He's got a perfect racing pattern. He digs in for the fight. He wants to win, whether it's a probably a track gallop, a barrier trial,
or a Rockhampton Class 3 or whatever
exactly.
The case may be. Is he ready to take that step up and take on the Group 1s now?
Oh, he has to be. You know, he's just with his attitude and whatever, and he walked in the yard there. He's a big, happy horse, and he just enjoys his racing by the look of him. He's an interesting horse that... He's like a rare gem that you find every...
That's exactly what he is.
30 right? years.
He's very rare, that horse, because I can remember we got horses given to us to train that had a lot of racing and country and provincial tracks, and invariably they came with issues. This horse has come, seemingly, in pristine condition, which is a credit to John O'Singh for taking him round.
But look at the way he pricks his ears. He's got something about him.
No, he's a winner. Yeah. And it's a credit to John O'Singh for the way he looked after the horse during that early preparation, and now the Hawks have taken over and doing a good job with him too. He's just a very rare commodity, and they broke 111 there because Rain Affair ran along in front, and he just carted the field up to Rain Affair and just kept
not
going with the job.
Do.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
He's definitely a Group 1
he's
horse.
He's the chopping block. You can do the donkey work on him.
Yeah. He just does it both ends of the race, and that's Group 1 racing. I'd be willing to back he'll be a weight for age sprinter.
Mm. Anything else out of this race, Ron?
There's plenty.
Okay, point him out.
Well, Craftiness confirmed that the potential we think he might have. I thought he was excellent here. He's a horse that's one of these Joe Pride horses that just sneaks along winning a string of races and thrown into the deep level here on probably an unsuitable track for him. I thought he fought on particularly well. Charlie Boy in the red making ground through the middle. I think he's in for a good campaign. He's gelded this preparation and he'll improve with the run looking at him in the yard. And even though back in the field in the Goori colours, Rock Sturdy through the middle late as well. I think he's come up well also, so there's a few horses to follow out of this race, but look, all eyes for the winner.
Good quality sprint. You just have to look at that field. It was, they're not the highest quality sprinters in the land, but they're top quality.
Look like a mini Stradbroke.
Yeah, about that level.
He'll be a bit of a boost for the Queensland Winter Carnival because Brent, obviously, being a former Queensland horse, he's going home and, they'll be able to build him up during the Winter Carnival.
I think he's going to be very hard to beat when he gets to Doomben over the 1,200 metres for the BTC Cup and then onto the 10,000. Then with the Stradbroke being a 1,350 around the tight turning track, he's going to be very hard to run down. Another horse that'll be heading to Brisbane that was a touch disappointing yesterday for those who backed it was Big Money. Now, there was certainly big money for the horse. Started $7.50 second favourite behind Our Boy Malachi. And the Rodney Northam trained horse only managed to finish ninth behind a few horses there. He finished off okay, but in the stewards room after the race, Rod Northam told Ray Murray that he may have erred by only giving the horse one barrier trial instead of two. He won a trial by 12 lengths and he thought that he had him sort of spot on for the 1200 metres first up, but he said maybe the horse just lacked a little bit of condition, but he wasn't losing faith that the horse could go to Brisbane and be competitive once he continues on his preparation.
Okay, sorry, Richard.
They can trap you like that, horses. They'll trial like that, and you think, wow, we've got them spot on. You have, but it's a different kettle of fish going from a half-mile trial or even a 1,000-metre trial to the pressure.
And only three runners in that trial.
Of a pressure of a 1,200-metre race.
Group three.
It just finds them out. And when they puncture quickly. And, they always look a lot worse than it probably was.
Okay, let's hear from some of the other jockeys out of the Hallmark Stakes. So we might start with Brenton Abdullah. He rode that good old campaigner. It wasn't his day yesterday. In fact, who have we got here? Damien Oliver, is it? All right, let's hear from some of the beaten riders.
Tommy Berry, Libaz.
Yeah, look, we had a nice run. He was just very one-paced.
Ty Anglin, Malavio.
Yeah, just done too much work early. Give him a squeeze from the gate and he just didn't relax once I got at the front.
Winona Costin, Worldwide.
He just had to do a bit of work early to get in, but...
Brenton Abdullah, Decision Time.
Look, I trailed Blake everywhere he went on the second place horse and he left me for dead on the point of the corner, so look, I'll leave it in Clary's capable hands.
Blake Shin, Craftiness.
Look, it was an excellent performance. He went at a very fast tempo. He sat behind them. I was within range of the winner, but he's going from a big step up in grade today, and he performed great. He's a really promising horse going forward.
Ty Anglin, Charlie Boy.
Yeah, he went great. Had a good run in behind him. I'd probably appreciate a step up in distance and run a little bit closer, but moving forward, very happy.
Kieran McAvoy, Fast and Rocking.
He ran well, Brent. Ground's probably just against him, but he loomed up and ran a nice race.
Jim Cassidy, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, look, terrific run. He's with Yorkie now. He's relaxing nice, travelled into the race nice. I thought he went really well.
Robert Thompson, Big Money.
Yeah, I was happy with him, Brent. First up, he just lacked a little bit of race fitness, but very happy with the run.
Okay, that was a very good running of the Hallmark Stakes yesterday. Let's go back to the JRA Plate. This was the 2,000-metre race. We'll pick up the replay. It was a fairly wide betting race. The favourite was Malice, James McDonald, at $4.40.
Voodoo Prince not happy with the speed, taking closer order. As a result, Malice has been shuffled back in the second half of the field now in the blue jacket, but it's in a forward-going move now. Malice has the run start down the side of the course. Then Gypsy Diamond, slow pace to the outside from Count of Lemonade, and Destiny's Kiss is travelling okay but is still back last on the point of the turn. And Singing Flame leads, the 8-year-old under pressure worldwide. Lee Baz travels for the time being from our Voodoo Prince. Malavio under immense pressure on the rails. Index Linked is coming through with a decent runner, and further back to Gypsy Diamond. Malice is still 5 or 6 behind them as Berry takes Lee Baz to the front narrowly from Singing Flame. They're beaten off Index Linked. Gypsy Diamond's running home well. Lee Baz in front. Gypsy Diamond could be the danger. Gypsy Diamond levelling up to Lee Baz, and Gypsy Diamond finishes best. Gypsy Diamond beats Lee Baz, Singing Flame third.
Well, that was more like it.
Yeah, it certainly was. Been frustrating, Greg. You know, she's, I know how much ability she has, and she works so well at home, but just doesn't bring that A game to the races. And sometimes me, as they get a bit of age, I'm thinking they really want to be here anymore or not. And certainly, as I said, I haven't seen her at home on the track. But thank God things worked out today. And she wasn't playing A, B, or C. I was staying the tactics before the race, but he made the best of a good thing, and he wrote exceptionally well at the finish. The runners come at the right time, and she could not pick it up.
Yeah, Gypsy Diamond, Sam Clipperton, he's had a really good carnival. Of course, last week he won on Osserman in the Percy Sykes Stakes, and he did a good job there. Ronnie had to come weaving through the field there on Gypsy Diamond to get her home.
Yeah, look, she was a little query at 2,000 metres, and obviously things didn't go right at the start there. The story of this race is the ride. He's turned into a terrific young rider, this Clipperton. He's had a good carnival. He's rode a few winners, and he's getting a support from different angles, from different trainers. And
including John O'Shea.
Including there.
Big fan, isn't he?
Nearly number two, isn't he?
Mm. Oh, no, he's in his first season as a senior rider. So it's an excellent effort to have won four big races over the autumn carnival for Sam. He's on his way. That ride wasn't in the plans. Peter Snowden said it wasn't plan A, B, C or D. And he just came up with a plan on the run. I think with that mare, she's capable on soft going without being a wet tracker. But she's definitely capable on it. And maybe later in her life, she's appreciating a bit of softness underfoot. She hadn't won this preparation. She didn't win last preparation.
No.
So it's been a long while between drinks.
It certainly has.
Anything else out of this race, Ron?
Look, he's a tough grinder, isn't he? Singing Flame, but he had conditions to suit. But he doesn't help himself. He wants to pull and sweat up in the yard. And Lee Baz, well, I've just about had enough of him. He's very one-paced, isn't he? I thought he was going to win here when he come up. You'd think he'd just keep... But he just doesn't quicken. He just grinds away. He could still go to Brisbane.
Do you know what I try with him? I try riding him back if you can.
Oh, I don't think it'd work.
Well, he's not winning this way. He's running the races, and he will win probably a race soon, but it wouldn't be out of the question, you know, giving it a try. Some horses, you think, can race like that, and they'll still perform well.
What he needs...
And you fluke finding out that you can ride him back, you know?
What he needs is a real fast run race.
Mm.
And then he probably could ride him back. And he might find one if he goes to Brisbane, because their tempo's a little bit stronger than...
I know it's a long time ago, but Superimpose won his first few races right up on the pace. And then one day, by a fluke, he missed the kick, had to be ridden from near last. It was a different horse.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that Lee Baz is the same sort of horse, but who knows?
Yeah, oh well. Food for thought.
Well, the winner out of this race, Gypsy Diamond, is going to head to the Wagga Cup. Owner Ron Finnemore is a Wagga local, and he's been trying to head back to win his cup for the second time, so I think she'll be very hard to beat in that event, boys.
Indeed. All right, so we mentioned Lee Baz there. Let's see what Tommy Berry thought of the run yesterday.
Tommy Berry, Lee Baz.
Yeah, look, we had a nice run. He was just very one pace.
Ty Anglin, Malavio.
Yeah, just done too much work early. Give him a squeeze from the gate, and he just didn't relax once I got at the front.
Winona Costin, Worldwide.
He just had to do a bit of work early to get in, but so he just weakened at the end.
Brent Navdala, Singing Flame.
He ran super. Little positive way, ended up outside the speed, and then sort of Worldwide taking us on mid-race didn't help. We were already on quick enough, and it just sort of gassing late.
Hugh Bowman, Destiny's Kiss.
Yeah, he ran a better race. Look, he's a consistent horse. He's sort of found his mark, but possibly a Brisbane Cup for him would be a nice race.
Glenn Schofield, Count of Lemonade.
Yeah, he actually ran pretty well. Obviously, a stop-start race. They wanted him ridden quiet, and that's where he was, and he sort of worked home well. But second run this prep, and he's got to improve from it.
Okay, well, that's a pretty comprehensive roundup on all of the Sydney racing next week. Next Saturday will be Anzac Day, an important day for us, and they are racing there at Royal Randwick. The following Saturday is the big standalone day at Hawkesbury, $1 million in prize money. It'll be a beauty this year, and scones just around the corner too. So all the Group 1s might be finished, but there's still plenty of good racing ahead. We'll be right back.
Coming up, we move to Melbourne for a look at their big 10-race card as trainers chase the Bovis riches.
Saturday, May 2, when Hawkesbury Race Club hosts Sydney's only race meeting. The 4X Gold Hawkesbury Standalone Saturday with three group races and $1 million in prize money. Major races, major prizes, major fun at Hawkesbury Standalone Saturday, May 2.
Double Cream 7, the women of country. Starring Carrie Underwood, Casey Musgraves, Mary Gold, and Miranda Lambert. Great melodies and heartfelt lyrics delivered as only the girls know how. There's Shania Twain, Dolly Parton, Martina McBride, Gretchen Wilson and many more. Hear them all on Double Cream 7, The Women of Country. Available now.
The much anticipated Black Caviar Lightning. Lincoln Rupee moving into the outside stall. Now they're racing. Deepfield and Lincoln Rupee both got good starts. Deepfield doing the chasing work. The link behind him, Lincoln Rupee. Brazen Bow trying to get up on the inside. Lincoln Rupee went straight past Deepfield. Lincoln Rupee claims a lead in the final 100 metres. And it's the master of sprinting. Lincoln Rupee by 2.5 lengths. Fabulous victory by Lincoln Rupee. He adds another little string to his bow. Then he can sit back and stalk and then let down with a withering burst like that, and he just blew them away. And a fabulous win at the Weight Parade for the King of Sprinting.
The Caulfield card on Saturday included four Vobis Gold races promoting Victorian owners and breeders. In the gold ingot for two-year-olds, most of the money came for Kraken and Danuki, the only horses with a win on the board. But after the favourite Danuki was caught wide in a fast-run race, the colt couldn't hold off outside of Fleur for Tail, the daughter of Commands, winning on debut in those famous David Haynes colours.
Fleur for Tail's coming with a big finish now. Fleur Fatale and Danuki race to the lead together. Fleur Fatale's full of running though. Fleur Fatale powering away and scored by a length. Danuki. Luchador might have got up for third ahead of Superta Difference.
It was another blowout result for punters in race 6, the Vobis Gold Sprint, with Sir Rupert Clark and Toorak handicap winner Trust in August getting rolled in the last few strides by outsider Red Bomber, who produced a big form turnaround.
Trust in August at the 200. Good offers giving him a bit of a race on the inside. Williams getting anxious, and Trust in August responds. Red Bomber and Worth the Ransom starting to fly, with Tycoon coming to the line though. It's Trust in August clinging on, grabbed by Red Bomber right on the post.
Last start, Alexandra Stakes winner Fontaine Ruby was the favourite in the Gold Reef over the mile. The tough little Robert Smurden trained filly obviously appreciated the 22-day freshener, scoring with a very strong win under the urgings of Nick Hall.
Fontaine Ruby first around the turn from War Point, who's grinding away. Jurisounder's coming after Fontaine Ruby, then Satinum. Fontaine Ruby about a neck in front, she'll have to dig in. Jurisounder's giving her a real race, but Fontaine Ruby clicks over to another gear. Away she goes the last bit. Fontaine Ruby, 2 lengths Jurisound. War Point just third ahead of Satinum.
Gee, they were giving away some prize money at Caulfield on Saturday. Fontaine Ruby in the Gold Reef. They were planning to run her at Morphettville yesterday, but for $250,000, they did the sums and decided it was probably easier to stay at home. And look, she loves to roll along out in front.
Beautifully placed there under those conditions. But what a fighter she is.
Well, I'm sure Jurisound headed her, headed her, and was going to go straight past her. And, of course, she clicks into that other gear. She gets into the fight, and she loves the fight.
She does.
And she's just...
just a top quality race mare. You know, when you give her own way in front when she's rock hard fit, gee, it's hard to get past her. Even when the Eurosound went to her, I think I said to whoever was sitting with me, this mare will be hard to get past, and she just couldn't.
No, she's a beauty. And look, it's a lot harder with a leader when, you know, the fence is off and you've got to come to the middle. You're a sitting shot. When you've got the fence to follow, you can kick.
Well, they've all got to come around you. They can come from either side of you here.
Exactly right, and you have to admire her. Look at the gap. Look at the gap between the first four or even five with the field. That's usually a good indication. Yeah. It's a pretty strong race.
And I don't think Eurosound actually did head her, but she looked like she was going to, and that's when I think Fontaine Ruby saw her and said, OK, now game on.
Yeah, she just pins the ears back and goes.
Brent, I mentioned they were going to go to Adelaide yesterday originally, but decided to stay at home for the $250,000 race, but I think they'll be going to Adelaide now, chasing a Group 1.
Well, she knows she can run a strong 2,000 metres, and it looks to be a race at her mercy. So I can imagine that it would definitely be on the radar, considering how strong her form was last spring, where she beat the boys in the Caulfield Classic over the 2,000 metres. So I think she'd be heading that way.
The Australasian Oaks is that race, run at Group 1 level in a few weeks' time over there in Adelaide. OK, here are some of the other feature races. It was a huge day. They had 10 races at Caulfield yesterday. Here's some of the highlights.
In the Gold Mile for the open class, it was Self-Sense that was heavily backed, coming back from the Albury Cup, whilst Written Up had support with the blinkers on for the first time. After running along early, it was left for an informed Swooper to come home late.
Don's of Brins to the outside, then Rebel Rising, Refulgent switching course, trying to get a run on Barbos the inside. It's now Zabrins out wide on the course, his race to the lead, from Barbos through on the inside, but it's Zabrins is away and racing clear, and Zabrins in a rich vein of form, won it by two lengths to Barbos. Valorum got up for third.
In the Get Out Stakes on a big card of racing, it was Under the Louvre the punters placed their trust in to get out. Sistine Demon was looking for an upset and took to his usual role of pace setter.
Amarino threading through, now Under the Louvre trying to shoulder his way clear. He's got a bit to do. Sistine Demon all out. Marianne got up on the inside. Amarino pounces. Under the Louvre, Gracious Prospect coming. It's Amarino, Marianne, Under the Louvre launching late. Amarino in front though. Amarino got the last from Under the Louvre via Nick. Marianne third.
In the penultimate race of the day, the Bellisprit Stakes brought together a field much stronger than its listed level rating. With varying form lines, the punters didn't know where to look, but Runaway Star attracted support for her new stable. It was a Group 1 placed mare fresh off a break that surprised most late.
A Loping being tackled by Greg as the inside Thermal Current and Trident Tide. Hazard can't get through there across the track, and flying home is Politeness as well. Politeness swapping them on the outside. Politeness got up to win it by a neck. Thermal Current, Gregor's Trident Tide.
There's Politeness taking the Bellisprit Stakes. Good quality mare. She was back after a little bit of a break. She suffered an injury in the Balmain Stakes back on the 14th of February, so she's had a good let-up since then. But, look, she's come back in good order going on that win yesterday.
She certainly has. Look, the most surprising thing about that win was the price. I know it's after the ball. It's easy, but she was accepted for Sydney over the carnival last week and was scratched, and she was going to be a chance in, you know, a very strong race. So big odds there. She got the money. I think Thermal Current desperately needs to